Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sod Show Garden Podcast.
My name is David Tanner. I've been open garden here in Glenview Gardens near Inniskeen, just a small village. But I started off gardening around the house. It was just in 1 acre site. I built a house and their old style garden. But 20 years ago, we kind of got more interested in gardening. And myself and Mary, both of us, we kept changing all different areas of the garden. We started off with a sunken white garden. And then we did a Japanese garden, and plus we have all perennials and whatnot around. I suppose that was the big thing. We used to open one day a year for charities. It kind of took off from there. There was loads of people coming, and they asked us why not open. So we were doing that for 3 or 4 years, and we raised a lot of money for different charities. But then I decided to join the West Cork Garden Trail, and of course I decided if I was charging people coming in on a daily basis, I'd have to extend. So I had plenty of free space out back in the field. So I went out one morning and I stepped out about 18 metres back. I marked off about 2 acres and extended out from there. It just kind of happened, really. I always wanted a circular lawn. So the circular lawn was the start of this extension. I got a rope and a post and drove it down the centre of where I wanted my circle. I drew a line around and planted a beech hedge and went out another 2 metres and planted copper beech in the inner side and a green beech, and I have a pet right around the circle, and we worked from there out in it over the past 8 or 10 years. It's just growing, changing all the time. We're ready, and the most recent one was the fairy trail, and 2 years ago we did a hobbit house, which was a big attraction. And I started it small, and it was so popular that I decided to make it bigger. So 2 winters ago, I knocked out one side of one wall and I put in a kitchen and fireplace, and I did a little library on the other side. I have a little bedroom. So you can go right into the hobbit house now in the round door and out onto the back of the garden. It is under the hill. So it's quite attractive.
Well, let's sidetrack here for a second, because you know somebody who I know, who is Finbar O'Mahony, who I went to college with. And Finbar, we would have had on the show about a year ago, and he's now West Cork Secret. And the reason we got talking about Finbar was because he had a line of Betula Jacciamontii, but you kind of bought the whole lot. And apparently he has a couple left, and you decided to also take the rest of them as well. But it appears to me like you kind of got the garden bug, and then the bug kind of took over, and so you just keep on doing more and more. And I think I have a bad with gardening and horticulture and going to see gardens when I'm on my holidays constantly over and over again. But you seem to be just, it's like an addiction to you, if you don't mind me saying, and that's a compliment.
Yes, that's quite true. I seem to be addicted to it. At the moment, I'm just thinking, what is the next project? As Peter said, I have 6 Jacciamontii's waiting until the right time comes to plant those. And the fairy trail was the last project, but I'll have to come up with something else again, because I know if I won the lottery, there'd be no stop. If Finbar heard me, he'd be laughing, because Finbar was here a few times, and he was a help to me as well. He's planted some big trees for me there. No better man. Where I'll stop at the moment, I'll have to stop, I suppose, somewhere, but maybe Peter might give me some idea to some other project.
Oh, God. I'm kind of afraid of that, because to David's credit, and for those of you who have not been here before, at Sodshow on Twitter, facebook.com/thesodshow and sodshow.com, and there'll probably be some photographs floating around, or send me a note if this is in the future. I'll send them on to you. The gas thing is, I'm looking at carpinus, pine trees, birch trees. I'm looking at, by girth, they would be maybe 8-10s or 10-12s. That's how you would usually do it if you're going to buy a garden. I say usually, if you're on a, let's say, a budget. But if the bug kind of gets you, you kind of tend to turn around, and again, it's back to that. It's like falling in love. You tend to disrespect all of logic. and you say, no, give me the biggest ones. The girth on the Chiacchimonti eyes, stick with them, must have been 35, kind of heading towards 40 at this stage of the game. Okay, I've done a lot of approval, and the Carpinus look like they've been here for maybe 20, 30 or 40 years. How old is this garden?
This garden is only 10 years. I bought all trees as mature as I could, because I wanted to open up straight away. I didn't want to go waiting. I searched out trees wherever the biggest. I wouldn't grow up in Tipperary, which he had some Carpinus. They were about 14 feet high when I bought them. So I had to transport those down and try and get them in. That was the first year. But another thing I wanted was a moon gate, some part of the garden. And so I came on and I marked off one small section, and I built a moon gate and made a Chinese garden right inside the moon gate. So that's another little area that I had enough work to do. So I just built a walled garden for vegetables, and I grow all my own organic potatoes and cabbage and whatever, peas, beans, whatever.
Let's split that direction then, because there is the Chinese garden. There's also the Japanese garden.
That's right.
There's the walled garden. There is the circular lawn garden. There are birds in an aviary, and you have to see that. I mean, talk about man's best friend being a dog. In this case, every time you walk past it, I won't call it a budgie, he goes absolutely ballistic when he sees David, and he feeds some peanuts. There was a feathered variation of a dog. Well, this is it. How many other styles, teams of gardens do you have outside of that?
I have this sunken white garden when visitors come. It was an old shrub garden, so I decided I'd make a sunken garden. And I just got a digger in one day and dug out the whole lot and just put a little wall around and two steps going down in and planted with all white flowers. And I noticed today when I was in, the white butterflies seemed to... It's not only white flowers, but white butterflies. Whatever is attracting the white butterflies, I don't know. But after that, then we continue on across the front of the house, and it's all perennials. Last March, I got rid of the lawn, which I had a lawn there, and I planted a load of the white Chiacchimontis. And I have those underplanted with the blue geranium. It has a mat of blue underneath the white, which is quite nice, I think. There's also wishing well there, which is a big attraction for children. When they see the wishing well, they're running to their mammies and daddies looking for coins. I think there's no spare coins left in the handbags at this stage. They're all thrown into the wishing well. But after that, then we go on down another patch of wisteria in the spring. It's a big long pergola, I suppose. It's 60 or 70 metres long. It's lined with wisteria. That's, of course, early spring. And then up in the back in the woodland, we have bluebells. I put in 1,000 bluebells about 3 years ago, and they're after multiplying now. So in the early spring, and of course, we have the rhododendrons, and I have another rhododendron, which about, I think is about 20 different varieties of rhododendrons, the dwarf, and azaleas at the other side. So we have a lot of colour in spring. Of course, we have the lilacs near the wall garden, 4 or 5 different colours of lilacs, which is another early spring colour. Later in the summer, then it changes again. So people talking in the background. So
that's okay. That's allowed. There's people with parents, and it's okay. We're right next to the tea room at the very back of the garden, and it appears Ben is in a little bit of trouble. That's the young kid's name, but that's what children just do when they come in. But hey, listen, we're back to that. It's kids. It's children. It's in gardens. And isn't that the ultimate? We've all been saying, you know, we need to get the next generation in. Well, this place is thronged with them. Don't ask me how, and you can turn around and say it's the Hobbit House. A little bit, maybe to an extent, you could say it's the Wishing Well, but it's not. The place is immaculate, because if mom and dad don't want to stay here, the kids get a half an hour. Ben's getting a serious rollicking, let's put it that way. Let's change for a side minute if we can, David. What were you before? Because you're obviously, if you don't mind me saying, about my own age, if not 1 or 2 years older, let's be nicely polite about all that one, and then we'll swiftly move on. Were you a gardener? Did you study horticulture? How did this kind of bug take over?
No, I never studied horticulture. I just had an interest in gardening, all right, just my own private garden, and I class myself as a bit of a chancer. I seem to be lucky. Everything I plant seems to grow, but of course we have good soil here. We can grow almost anything, and I suppose we're sheltered. We're not that far from the sea, so we're quite lucky that way. As Peter asked me, I had haulage. I was out on the road a lot. I changed that 20 years ago. I got a school contract with a bus, so I had more free time. If for gardening. I also make some garden ornaments and flower pots and all that. And I suppose that was another part of gardening. So a lot of my own making here in the garden, a lot of urns, and I suppose that helped me along as well. It just seems to work for me, so what more can I say, I suppose.
Was your dad a gardener? Was your mom into it?
No, my dad and my mother, they were, he just had a small farm, but he was also doing schoolroom, I suppose. That's where I'm getting it from. We just had a few cows and a few pigs and a bit of everything. So I had no interest in farming myself. So when he handed it over to me, I built a new house and I let the land to a local farmer. But any time I want extra acre or two, I can continue on. I suppose merely be hoping I won't win the lottery, because there'd be no stop to me, because I'd have the whole farm gardening.
Well, let's go there if we can then, because you have obviously a very beautiful wife. She makes a great cup of tea, is it, by the way, and fantastic cake. What does Mary say? And I'm not knocking Mary here. I'm probably more knocking you, David, if anything at all. But secretly, I'm hoping that you do win the lottery and that you do more and I get to come back and go, yeah, yeah. But does Mary hold her head in her hands the odd time and go, oh, God, David's doing another. Jesus, if I see one more feckin' plant, I'm going to, you know, I'll kill him. Is there an element of that about it, or is it no? Is she right by your side?
I think she's by my side. She's nearly as bad as me, I think. So, any spare time we have, where do we go? Only into some garden centre or some garden. We don't follow football or anything. It's always garden centre or garden. So, she's nearly gone worse than me at this stage. She's nearly pushing me. She's out in the morning early, pulling weeds and making sure it's tidy and clean before the visitors come. While we're able, we'll keep going. And
to see the gardens, how much do you charge in?
Yeah, we just charge adults €5 for entry, and children from 5 to 15, €3. So it's a great family day out, quite cheap. So they can bring picnics, and we have the self-service tea and coffee here in the tea house and right in the back of the garden. So they can make their own cup of tea or coffee and bring their picnic and spend 2 or 3 hours or whatever they want. And they're all quite happy. We have a great following on Facebook. There's, I know, when is it, 30 or 40,000 followers on Facebook. We're rated 40 now on TripAdvisor out of 140 places in Cork. So it's looking up. We're quite happy with that. So.
It's kind of a nice compliment. And let me also put this in context for you. My daughter was here yesterday. I'm here today. I met David the day before yesterday. So this is my third day here on the trot. And every time I walk in, as a guy who works in gardens, and those of you who are serious about horticulture will maybe empathise with me a little bit here. It's not that you don't appreciate how great the gardens look. How would you say it? If you've seen kind of one maybe show garden, you know how to break it down in your mind's eye a lot quicker than maybe somebody who isn't working at it full stop. There's a little red robin beside me, which always reminds me of my mum. But there is an element maybe that about it. So for you, the serious gardener, who works in this for a living, to go and visit the same garden 3 times running, there has to be something kind of special about that. But always, 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 let me break this down, Bobby Brown. It is always the people that make a place. And it is always the people who will make you come back. The gardens are there and they are on par with, but it's seeing the children run around through the more formal parts, as well as the, let's say, the attractions. It's seeing and passing a mom and daughter. The mom was about the age of my own mom and daughter was probably about my own age. And they're saying, we were here when you first started yesterday, just by way of passing conversation. Is that kind of a decent enough reason to keep it all going when you get feedback like that?
Oh yes, it's very rewarding when you hear people going out and they're all praising our work and they wonder how do we do it, and the children are all happy. When everybody is happy, we're happy. So like, it all helps. It puts more drive into it and you get more interested in it. Even as I'm talking now, I can hear the children behind me here on the fairy trail. They're all happy out. So.
But you've got, so when you come into the car park here, there's an old shed and you can see where David makes a little bit the garden ornaments and the slabs are made by hand. The cars are parked in, and I was sitting in your homestead kitchen yesterday having a cup of tea, and the bell, when it rings at the gate for people to come in, it was like you were on a roller disco. You came in the front door, you came in the back door, my apologies, into your own kitchen, and the bell rang and you walked back out around the kitchen table and back out again, and then you came back in and you tried to restart the conversation that you were having 3 minutes before that, and the bell rang and you went around again, and this happened non-stop until eventually, after my tea was finished, I kind of went like, I can't have a conversation with this guy. The place is just, I won't say too busy, but the car park was kind of small, but you had a consistent flow the whole way around.
Yeah, that's true. I have to make about 5 or 6 attempts to get my lunch. I'm no sooner sitting down when, as Peter says, the bell ring and it's all go, go, go. But once 5 o'clock comes in the evening, like, people are just kind of wondering and they were thinking of going home for their own lunch at home, I suppose. But once 5 or 6 o'clock come, then we have a bit of peace and we can do a bit of work in the garden and cut the grass and whatever, have it all kind of ready again for the next day. It's the same thing over again the next day.
Is that how it happens? Just to put in context, I don't have an open garden or a garden that's open to the public, but when you open at, what, let's say 10 o'clock in the morning?
10 o'clock,
yeah, okay, 10 o'clock, and you close at about 5, yeah. All right. So when everybody's gone, do you then start to look after the garden?
Well, not every evening. Some evenings we just go off and go away somewhere and relax, some hotel or tea out, and forget about the garden, maybe a couple of evenings a week. But if there is a fine evening, we probably would just get on top of, you know, there's always things to be done. After children around, there's always fairy houses to be put back in place and bits and pieces. And Mary be tidying up the tea house, have it all clean in the toilets, of course, which is important. She keeps us spotless. We don't let her get the best of us. We still have our own free time. So,
what's the season when you open? And what is it, April to approximately?
Yes, we open mid-April and September, but last winter, October, was very fine. People kept ringing us to see would we open. We decided to open until the end of October last year, but this year now, it depends on the weather. We're probably by appointment during October. Hopefully the weather will be good in October.
You're part of West Cork Garden Trail. How's that working out for you?
Yes, we joined the West Cork Trail, I think it's about 10 years ago, and that's bringing a lot of visitors down to West Cork. I think it's about 14 different gardens in the trail. We all advertise each other, promote each other, and visitors go from wherever. They're here for maybe a day or two.
My daughter was here with you yesterday. You asked her, would she like to pick out a garden ornament? The garden ornaments, as by the way, are, some of them are teddy bears and some of them are hedgehogs and some of them are a little bit more, as you and I might know them, of the Machiavellian style, let's call it that. Which one did she pick out, David?
Yeah, she picked out a little small a statue of a small little lady holding a bunch of grapes, which I was surprised, because just next to it, I had some teddy bears. I had a boy teddy bear and a girl teddy bear. So I was sure she'd pick the girl teddy bear. But no, she picked this statue of a small little lady holding the grapes.
Well, we do, to be honest with you, and I asked her this, but she told me, I said, why did you pick out the Machiavellian style one? And she said, well, grapes are my favourite.
Right.
And that was that.
Yeah.
Well, I thought she'd gone for the...
Yeah, I was... Yeah, sure, the child is a child, I suppose. She was happy with that, so I was quite happy as well.
She's her dad's way of looking at things. If people want to get in touch, you are on the Twitter, you're on the Facebook, you're on Instagram, you have your own website. What's the website?
Clinton Gardens. If you get West Cork Garden Trail anywhere, we're on that website. We're nearly in Skene, which is not too far from Clonakilty, and we're only just about 5 minutes drive off of the main road, so it's no problem in finding us.
All right, if you're walking, you've got the headphones in, the earbuds in, at Sod Show on Twitter, facebook.com/thesodshow and sodshow.com, and what I'll do is I'll put you directly in touch with David if you're stuck for any of that, as per usual. In the meantime, my sincere thanks to the wonderful people of West Cork Garden Trail. and also, and in particular on this occasion, to Mary, David's good lady, for the tea and cake, and to you, David. Thank you so much. A real genuine pleasure.
Thank you, Peter. Thanks for having me earlier myself. Thanks very much.
Excellent. That's it, folks. Take care. Have a great weekend. Chat soon. Isn't that brilliant, isn't it? Do you hear that in the background? Children playing with their imagination in a garden, and I'm not joking you, my 6-year-old here threw money into the wishing well, as David said, and then the biggest thing then after that was asking David, did he ever see the fairies? And that was David Tanner of Glenview Gardens. A huge thank you to David and to Mary for their time, and also for the welcome that they gave me into their home and into their gardens, where you might be surprised to hear I had cake and tea, much cake and beautiful tea. Thank you so much to the both of you. You at home, however, might have copped at this stage of the game what's kind of happening, because not only have I had Tony O'Mahony of Inishbeg Estate on the show, I also had Serge de Thibault of Bamboo Park from Glengariff on the show. Three gardens now on the trot, all part of the magical West Cork Garden Trail. Something I won't say I'm ashamed to say, but I was mildly embarrassed to say that I had never seen any of the gardens, considering I know West Cork so well. Because you might remember I would have had Finbar O'Mahony on the show, old college friend of mine, based out in West Cork, owns West Cork Secret. And so to finally get down, not only to get down to West Cork, but also to be brought around by Bev and Miriam, who run West Cork Garden Trail, to be introduced to every single person, to be introduced and walked around, chauffeured around every single garden by their owners. They're very wonderful owners. It is something quite special that not everybody gets to do, I suppose. But I had two options in doing this series of interviews. The first was I did them by telephone. I sat in a studio in Dublin and I just put them on the show, and you'd have a podcast, and I could have gone for a pint of Guinness that evening. But that's not kind of how it should be done, if that makes sense. I think you've got to take the time out. I think you've got to go there. I think you've got to see the hard work that has gone in. And when you take something like Inishbeg Estate, which, you know, was to rack and ruin and now extremely beautiful, stunning, and formerly an island, now bridged to the mainland. You take something like Bamboo Park, which started in 1999, based on a guy who went and saw the largest European version of a bamboo park and said, I like that, I should build one in West Cork. Who does that? And then you go and you meet David and Mary, a guy who used to be in haulage, who drives a bus, who's not a qualified gardener like Serge. And you have to scratch your head and go, why did you do that? Why did you jump out of a plane in a parachute? Why do you like to learn to do origami, crochet, anything? But this is a passion, and it shows, and it's beautiful, and they are all different. And to put in context for Inishbeg, it would be the place where you would go to woo a loved one. For Bamboo Park, it is just absolutely amazing, but also stunning views, and a bridge going over the water. That white bridge in Bamboo Park is, it's probably the engagement place. It's the place where you would ask her maybe to marry you. But equally, it's beautiful. You'd stay there the entire day. And then you go to somewhere like Glenview, where it's for the grown-ups, it's a little bit for the adults, it's also for the children, it's the Hobbit House. Why would you build a Hobbit House in the first place? There are a lot more to come. They are seriously worth waiting for. But I double underline this. It could not have happened without the generosity, the kindness, and the time that the people involved in West Cork Garden Trail gave to all of the people who own the gardens, that is. And also to Miriam and Bev, who literally picked me up on a Monday evening at about 4 o'clock from the train station in Cork, brought me to Fernhill House Hotel, where I was honoured to stay and privileged to stay that evening, to the next day at about 7:45 in the morning, pick me up again and work all the way through. I think they dropped me off that evening, the Tuesday evening, at Bantry House, where I was also, you guys should double underline that, privileged again to stay, to eat at Rob's along the way, to meet the people there, to see their gardens all by that night time. And it was about 12 o'clock when we finished that evening. And the next day, on the Wednesday, Bev and Miriam picked me up again at about 7:30, 8:30, and we worked all the way through. I say work, yeah, there's a bit of that about it, you know, enjoyable, not work, but still, you know, not sitting on a deck chair, to put in context. And that evening, West Cork being so beautiful that it is, I think I was dropped off at Sexton's campsite, where I stayed and remained for the next 5 days. And I went back to David's garden, and again and again. I actually went twice afterwards, which will put in context just how much I think of the place. And I hope that you're starting to get a picture. And you might turn around and say, well, I prefer that one over that one, but that's okay. But what if you go down with five kids? Would Bantry House be for you? Yeah, well, maybe. But maybe it's also the place where you might prefer to go on your own. And that's the beauty of a trail. You get to say, well, I like that, and I like that, and I like that. Or I prefer that one, I prefer that one, I prefer that one. And that's what taste is all about. That's why our gardens differ. All I can say is, number one, I hope you enjoyed what you heard. And number two, to the people of West Cork, to the people of West Cork Garden Trail, to the people behind the scenes, thank you so much for your generosity and kindness. It could not have happened without you and your very, very, very kind hearts. Anything you need listening to this, it's at Sodshow on Twitter, facebook.com/thesodshow and sodshow.com. If you're listening to it and you're in podcast and you've got your iPhone out, go to iTunes, find Sodshow, leave a rate and review there. It would be very, very, very much appreciated. Apparently it does something to bumping us up the ladder. I don't know. Either that, or you can invite me down to your garden like Mary did and David, and you can give me a kick. Take care. Have a great weekend. Slán. Bye-bye.